What's up, y'all? Our scripture tonight is Ephesians 3, 1 through 13, and it says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known by me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holiest apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the same promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles an unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring light to everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he had realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you that you not lose heart over what I'm suffering for you, which is for your glory." Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us all together tonight. And I pray that you'll open all our eyes and hearts to listen to what you have for us tonight, Lord. And I pray you'll help us put aside all distractions and focus on you. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Lily. Hope you all have had a good day. I know I'm excited to see all of you and to just be back up here. It's been a good week or so of rest for me from D-Now, because that was crazy. But I'm excited to be back up here with y'all. Hey, so tonight you heard her read it best. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to go through 13 verses tonight. It's going to be a fun challenge ahead of us. The other day, me and my friend were actually talking about this. We were talking about the book of Ephesians, and one of the things I actually have failed to communicate to you guys is that Ephesians is actually, and this is a big word that I want you to tell your parents you learn, Ephesians, the genre, is actually apocalyptic literature. When we think of apocalypse or apocalyptic, what do we think of? Zombies, Walking Dead, we think of all kinds of those things. But the word apocalypse, in the Greek, the original meaning, it's apocalypsis. It literally means to pretty much pull the curtain back. It means lift, like the lifting of the veil. Or in other words, it literally means to reveal. Like that's what, and so when you get to the book of Revelation, that makes sense. Like the book of Revelation is apocalyptic literature in the sense that it is just revealed knowledge through the Holy Spirit. And so tonight, that's literally what we're going to look at. Paul is going to disclose to us in these couple of verses this mystery that's been hidden through the ages, this mystery that's been hidden, that's now revealed. It's now, the curtain has been pulled back, and through Jesus Christ, the apostles, through Paul's writings, through what Jesus did, the curtain's pulled back, and now we can understand this mystery of following Jesus, of what it means to follow Christ, of what it means to have life in him. We now understand from all eternity things that people didn't understand back in Moses' time because of Jesus, because of the Bible. And Paul's going to reveal that to us tonight. The fun fact, actually, about chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, is once in the original language, that is all one sentence. So like you look at it in your Bible and it's a bunch of sentences, that was all one sentence. It's a thought continuation from verse 1 to verse 14. Everything in the middle is sandwiched as like an adjective, pretty much, which is crazy. It's just verse 1 and then everything, one sentence, and then he continues that thought in verse 14, which we'll tackle next week. But kind of going back to the whole apocalypse thing, the Hebrews understood truth as this, and this is actually going to help you. This should actually be a big encouragement to your walk with Christ. The Hebrews understood knowledge or wisdom or truth as not this stuck in the mud thing. It was something that continued to unfold. Does that make sense? So it's not subjective. Truth doesn't change, but it continues to move forward. And for you and I mean, right now in this room, there's a lot of questions we probably have about the Bible, about Jesus, about eternity, you know, whatever it may be. And for us, that should be encouraging that as followers of Christ, truth, as we grow in our walk with Christ, truth is continued to be revealed to us. That should be an encouragement to us. That's how Paul's pretty much writing this letter of Ephesians, is he's revealing truth through the Holy Spirit to the church at Ephesus. And so the whole point tonight, the whole point, I just want you to know off the jump, the whole point is that the church is to make known God's mystery, which is unity with God and unity with each other. In other words, this is literally what it means. In other words, it is your job to share the mystery of the gospel. It's your job. The church's job is to share the mystery of the gospel, not only in how we talk, but in how we live. I want you to go all the way back to me to the beginning of the garden. What is it? God's making all this stuff. God makes man, right? What happens to man? Man's lonely, so God does what? God gives man woman. And so they're there, and then what? So man now walks with woman, and what? God is in the garden with man. So from the jump, man had a relationship with God, and man had relationship with mankind. Does that make sense? So from the jump, you see this unity with God and unity with others. But obviously, you and I know the story. What happens? Sin. In short answer, sin happens. So what? Our unity with God is stripped away, correct? God no longer walks with man in the garden. And guess what? You see this in the Tower of Babel. What happens? What are sin's consequences? God actually spreads mankind out. Everybody was speaking one language, and then what happens? Sin's consequences. Now God spreads everybody out. Everybody's speaking different languages. So from the jump, it's God made it, and then sin twisted it, and sin messed the whole thing up. And so pretty much the whole story of the Bible at short, the whole story of the Bible, the whole narrative, the whole picture, is 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years. They're all telling the same exact story, that God is trying to save mankind. That's the point of the kings. God's trying to send a king to govern Israel and point Israel back to himself. That's the point of the prophets. God's sending a prophet. You know why? Because the prophet's going to point the people back to God. That's the point of the judges. God's going to send a righteous judge that's going to hopefully lead Israel and point them back to God. So from the jump, God is trying to reverse this curse of sin. He's trying to pull people back to himself, and he's trying to pull people together in unity. And so up until pretty much Jesus comes back, so from the garden to the grave, until that point, there is not this possibility for you and I to be with God, for you and I to be unified with God. And then after that, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit falls, and what? People that were speaking different languages, what? They all spoke the same language. So it's like God is continuing to reverse this curse of sin. Now, because of the Holy Spirit and because of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, you and I can be unified with God and unified with each other. And that's exactly what Paul is going to paint the picture for us in this scripture. He's going to walk us through what that means, the mystery of this gospel, that he doesn't need us, but he wants us. It's this beautiful mystery that God does not need you, but he wants you. Like, just think of the mystery of the gospel. Just think of the mystery of the gospel. God the Father sends his only Son to die for his enemies so that his enemies can be reconciled to him and have a right relationship with him and a right relationship with each other. What normal person does that? You know, when we talk about love nowadays and all kinds of things, you know what God loving humankind costed him? His Son. And so for you and I, when we say, hey, we love God, you know what it has to cost us? The things of the world. And so what Paul's going to walk us through tonight is exactly that. God is reversing the curse and the effects of sin. He's giving us a way to be with him and with each other. And because of that, and I want to circle back to the whole main point, which is the only point, it's our job to share the glories and the mysteries of this gospel. And this is all Paul's going to say. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming you have heard about the administration of God's grace that he gave me for you. The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written above. What Chris Sinclair unpacked last week so beautifully is exactly right there in verse 11 and 12 in chapter 2. Look at 11 and 12 in chapter 2. It says, so then remember at one time you were Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcised by those called the circumcised, which is done in the flesh by human hands. At that time you're without Christ. So right, you're without Jesus before Christ. You don't have a relationship with him. You don't know him. He doesn't know you. But then also, you are excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenants of promise. So you're without hope in God, you're without God, and you're without relationship with other people. And so what Paul is pretty much saying in these first two verses is, hey, while I'm this prisoner in Rome, remember that's where he's writing this, he's saying, while I'm this prisoner, I want you to know of the freedom that's in God, the freedom that's in Christ, but that the freedom that we have to be in relationship with other people. And in verse 2, he's going, hey, I'm assuming you've heard about the administration of God's grace that he gave me for you. Paul's talking about three different things. He's talking about his calling, so Paul's calling. He's talking about his apostleship. And he's talking about his ministry. Paul's pretty much in these first couple of verses just reflecting on himself. He's saying, because of who I am in Christ, and because of what you know of me in Christ, this is what is next. And so if you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 1, 11 verses 11 through 16. This is a really powerful passage that I want you to read with me if you have your Bible. So Galatians 1, 11. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel preached by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, and I was not taught it, but it came by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul's pretty much backing that same thing up, is that he didn't just make this up. Paul didn't just make this up and was like, hey, I'm just going to try to write it. He's saying, this gospel, what I'm teaching to you, comes straight from revelation, comes straight from apocalypsis, that Greek word, revelation from Jesus. And then Paul's going to get into his testimony. Look at verse 13. For you have heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I intensely persecuted God's church and tried to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many contemporaries among my people because I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I could what? So that I could preach him among the Gentiles. Paul's calling right there. So God called him by his grace so that he could preach to the Gentiles. The next thing, Paul's apostleship. Go to 1 Corinthians 9, if you have your Bible. They're going to throw it up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 1 and 2. This is Paul. He's asking rhetorical questions about himself. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? FYI, that's why we don't have apostles today. An apostle saw Jesus in a technical sense. Technically, apostle means sent one, and we can still do that. But apostles, as in the New Testament, it's right there. Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? You had to have seen Jesus. And then he says, are you not my work in the Lord? If I'm not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, because you are the seal of my apostleship. He's, once again, when you go back to Ephesians, he's echoing all of these things. His calling, his apostleship, and then lastly, his ministry. This is the last one I'll have you flip to for a little bit. Go to Acts 9, verse 15. This one's a really cool one. Jesus, God, is talking to Ananias right after Saul, we know who's then later Paul, Saul after the Damascus Road experience, and Jesus, God is telling Ananias, hey, go, you need to go talk to Paul, and he's like, well, I'm scared, what if he kills me, because I heard he was doing all this, and then he tells Ananias this verse right there in verse 15, but the Lord said to him, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to Gentiles, kings, and Israelites. So once again, flipping back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 and 3, when Paul's saying the administration of God's grace that he gave me, when he's saying this mystery was made known by revelation, he's reflecting to all of these things. And it's very important that we know that. And a little bit of a side note, all of your Bible is connected. Like it's a really cool thing as you begin to read in one passage and then the next in the other, and then you see it over here and that, and it's a really cool thing. Once again, this is my side note, this is not on anything. Around 40 different authors over the period of 1,500 years, they all write the same exact story. People with completely different backgrounds, cultures, they all write the same exact story pointing to the same exact thing, that a Messiah would come and save them. Like, that's the mystery that he's talking about here. And he's saying, because of Jesus Christ, that has now been revealed to me, and I want you to know it. That's what he says in verse 4. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Verse 5, this was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by what? By the flesh? No. It says by the Spirit. Once again, echoing, because of the Holy Spirit falling at Pentecost, Jesus dying, raising from the dead, and then the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost, and you have the Spirit now that is working in the world, working in the apostles, that is how this is being made known. This mystery of Christ, that's how it's made known to us. For those of you in the room, maybe you don't get the Bible, maybe some of this doesn't make sense to you, there may be a lack of the Holy Spirit in your life. Same thing when you know, if you're walking and you're not living a life worthy of the Bible, what you're doing is grieving that Holy Spirit. It's pretty much carrying the idea that there's a dove and you just keep scaring it off. And so you're rejecting the power of the Holy Spirit, which did these crazy things like this that wrote it all together. And because of Paul's apostolic authority, because of Jesus commissioning him, because Jesus said, hey, Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles, Paul's going to unpack this mystery in verse 5 and 6. This was not made known to people in other generations. Skip to verse 6. This is the whole point. This is the mystery of the gospel. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Paul's literally saying, because of what Jesus has done, there is now unity with God and unity with each other. That means we can be different and we can still love each other. We can be different and we can disagree about things, but we can still, you know what we hold up as the authority? This is what we all agree on. That's what, because of the Holy Spirit, because of Jesus, that's how we can live now. Unified to Christ, walking with God like it was supposed to be in the garden, and unified with each other. So what? What's the point, right? Okay, great. We're unified with Christ. We're unified with each other. What's the whole point? Why does that matter? Well, this is where we're going to take this truth and we're going to really apply it to our lives. This is where we're going to make it make sense. Look at verse 7. This is where Paul is going to kind of switch gears and be like, all right, let me tell you all this up now. Verse 7. I was made a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the working of his power. This grace was given to me, the least of all the saints, to proclaim to the Gentiles the incalculable riches of Christ. This is the whole point right here. We are servants of Christ. We are servants of the gospel by the gift of God's grace. God's grace comes to you because he's wanting you to make that known to other people. Look at verse 9. And to shed light, he's saying, look, and this is why it happened, to shed light for all about the administration of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. That the mystery of the ages that was created in God before all things now is realized. That's what I think the ESV says. It's realized in Christ. And because of this revelation that it all points to Jesus, it all pointed to the Messiah, all the Old Testament, it all pointed to Jesus. Because of that, you and I don't sit idly back. Your school that's desperately looking for the answers in life, your friends that are desperately looking for what will fulfill them, it is in the mystery of the gospel. And what Paul's saying is that gift of God's grace came to me so that God called me so that he would send me. And so for you and I, we really have to start thinking, man, God, am I being used by you? Are you using me? Am I living a life worthy of this calling to make the mystery of the gospel known? I love that in verse 8 right there, he says, the least of all the saints. Go to 1 Timothy. This is 1 Timothy. It's a few pages to the right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 16. This is a very powerful piece of scripture. It's on the screen if you're not there. This is what Paul says. Look, I give thanks to, this is Paul speaking about his testimony. This is the power of God's grace. When you look into your own life, this is what you should be able to say about yourself. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man, but I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance and unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. If God can save Paul, if God can change Paul, he's going to change you. That's why you and I can't say we've encountered Christ and look the same. Like, our life has to look different. That's not a works thing. That's when you come in contact with the God of the universe, your life's going to look different. Going back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. If I could coin any verse, it'd be this one. Why has God changed you? Why has God given you grace when you didn't deserve any? Why has he given you mercy? Verse 10. This is so that God's multifaceted wisdom may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavens. This is according to his eternal purpose, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the whole point. So that God's wisdom, so that the mystery of him may be made known to everybody. And I love that he included the rulers and authorities in the heavens. Because that also, going a little forward to Ephesians 6, that's also what he uses about the battle we face. It's against the rulers and the authorities of the darkness. What Paul's saying without saying, and there's other scripture to back this up, 1 Peter 1:12 and Hebrews 2:16, the way we live our lives, the angels watch. The life that we're living, not only does the world watch, but we actually get to show the angels the mystery and the wisdom of God. That's why your salvation is much bigger than you. Not only are people looking, but the ministering spirits that God has sent out into the world, aka angels, they're watching. They don't even get to taste the salvation that we get to taste. That's why it's a big deal that you're walking with Christ. That's why it's a mystery. That's why when you come in contact with Christ, he changes you. Because not even the angels get to experience that. We make known God's wisdom through how we live, how we make disciples, how we're unified, how we love the Lord. And verse 11, that's what he's saying. This is the eternal purpose. And it was all realized in Christ. Because of Christ and the life that he poured out and the example he set, that's what we get to do. That's what we get to look like. And so in closing, I just want to echo the eternal purpose in verse 11. I was thinking about this and kind of wondering what this really means. Like, what does it mean that God's eternal purpose was accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord? And how does that affect our lives? And it's because of this. God's eternal purpose is for him to be known and for him to be glorified. You might think, hey, that's a little selfish. Like, why is it all about him? Don't I get any glory? Simply put, the man that wrote the rules gets to decide what happens. And that's why each of our lives is merely a vessel to glorify him with. And so for you, I just want you to look at your life. That's the only call I have for you. I want you to look at your life and I want you to reflect on, man, am I glorifying God because of the grace that was given me? Am I glorifying God with every aspect of my life? Listen, how I talk, how I act, what I look at, who I hang out with. Is every aspect of my life glorifying God? And then lastly, do you know him? Do you yada him? We've talked about this before, but that word know in the original Hebrew, like when they were scribbling it in all these little crazy letters, it's literally yada. It is an intimate knowledge. It's not a, hey, I know of him, or I've heard about him, or I kind of think about him sometimes. It's no, do you know him intimately? As you know intimately some other things. So do you know him? And then, hey, are you making him known? Is your life, like Paul, just a ministry of making him known? So what I want y'all to do is I want y'all to reflect on that. I want y'all to go off to small groups, and I want y'all to have an encouraging conversation. And I want you to reflect on that in your life. Am I living a life worthy of the eternal purpose that God put in Christ? When Christ died for me, am I living a life that's worthy of that? So I'm going to pray, and we'll go to small groups. Dear Lord, I love you, and I thank you, and I ask that you would just move in this time of small groups, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, that we would just be honest and transparent with where we're at, Lord, that we would that you would put in us a desire to love you, or to love your word, and to make that known to other people, not only with how we talk, Lord, but with how we act, with our heart's posture. Would you just continue doing a magnificent work? Would you continue working in this place like you are? In your name I pray. Amen.